Today's blot is Daf Mem Vav, and we're going to begin on Mem Hei Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Yesterday we learned that a machloikis between Rish Lakish, Rish Shimon Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan regarding a menorah, if it's allowed to be moved on Shabbos or not. Rish Lakish said if it could be carried with one hand, you're allowed to. With two hands, you're not allowed to. And Rabbi Yochanan said, it doesn't make a difference, one hand or two hands. And we left for Tamamai. We were up to his why. So says the Gemara, Rav and Rabbi Yosef, the Amr Tavayu. So Rav and Rabbi Yosef both say, Hoyel v'odim kovei loy mokum. Since a person designates a specific place for menorah, you're not allowed to move it. So it's like a form of a muksa. It was designated to a place. I designated it in my mind that I leave it in that place. Amar Abayi Rabbi Yosef. So Abayi asks Rabbi Yosef, "Vrei kilas chasanim. Kilas chasanim is a bed with a canopy. The adam kavei lo makom. A person certainly designates a place for a bed with a canopy. You usually don't move your bed. V'amar Shmuel Mishum Rabchia. Yet Shmuel said, kilas chasanim, this bed with the pointy canopy, mutal and taisoi, you could set it up. And you could disassemble it on Shabbos. Why? Because there's a halacha that on Shabbos you're not allowed to make an oil, you're not allowed to make a tent. But the definition of an oil is something that has at least a roof, it has a covering that's a tefach wide. Given that this canopy comes to a point that's less than a tefach wide, it's not considered an oil, and therefore there's no issur of assembling it or disassembling it on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, good, there's no problem of making an oil, but we just said that anything that Odom Kovei Loi Mokom, any item that a person designates as a place, you're not allowed to move. So how can you move the bed, even if you don't have a problem of an oil? So, before we go to the next reason that the Gemara gives, there's an important Tosfos. So that's why Tosfos says that a menorah, a bed, you can move. Why? Because sometimes these are things that you'll move. You're going to move your candelabra. You're going to move your bed if you have to. What do we learn from Tosfos? That something that's never moved, the gezer of Adam Kaveh Eloi Mokoyim would apply, and you would not be allowed to move it on Shabbos. That's what Tosfos holds. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says that the Gemara is moving away from this concept of Adam Kaveh Eloi Mokoyim, and there's no such an Isser, no matter how kavua, how set the thing is in its place. The Shari Tshuva paskins like Tosfos, and he says that that's why the halacha is that if you have a war clock, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Because since a war clock is something that people basically never move, the only time a person usually moves a war clock is to either change the battery or when they change the time. So it's something that's kavei loy mokoyim, and the Shari Tshuva paskins, you're not allowed to move such a clock on Shabbos. So now we're back to where we started. Why are you not allowed to move the menorah? El Amar Abaya b'shel cholyus. We're talking about a menorah that's made out of parts, and we're concerned that if you move it, it may fall, and if it falls, you will come to put it back together. So Tosfos right away asks a question. The Mishnah Masechta Beis says, a machloikis be shamin be silul, im yesh binyan v'stir v'kelim, or ein binyan v'stir v'kelim. There's a concept of building in kelim. And Beis Hillel holds that ein binyan v'stir v'kelim. So if Beis Hillel holds that there's no problem making kelim, what are you worried about? That this menorah is going to fall apart and you're going to put it back together? There's no problem putting it together. So Tosfos says that the Mishnah Masechta Beis is not referring to a case where a keli is totally disassembled and you're reassembling it. That, Tosfos says, everybody including Beis Hillel would say is osur. When Beis Hillel says ein binya b'kelim, it's talking about a keli that's like shaky, it's not completely tight, and you're just tightening it. But to start from scratch, even Beis Hillel will agree it's osur, and here we're concerned that the menorah will fall apart and you start from scratch. That's what Tosfos answers here. Tosfos in Masechta Beis gives a different answer, which is also Negei L'Halacha L'Maisa. Tosfos says the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. The Mishnah Masechta Beis is referring to Yontif. Yontif, Beis Hillel holds, Ein Binyan V'Stir B'Kelim. But our Gemara is talking about Shabbos. Shabbos Beis Hillel will agree there's a problem of Binyan Stir B'Kel. So the Gemara is saying that we're dealing about a menorah that's made out of parts, and therefore we're concerned that it falls and you put it together. Ask the Gemara, wonderful. But if so, Yochi, my time of Rishim Belakish, the Shari. The Rishim Belakish said if it's a menorah that you can carry in one hand, you're allowed to carry it. What's the difference, one hand or two hands? If we're worried that the menorah is going to fall and you'll put it back together, what's the difference how big the menorah is? Answers the Gemara, my chulius, when I said it's a menorah made out of parts, it doesn't mean it's actually made out of parts. Ke'ilch ke'ein chulius. It looks like it's made out of parts. The ispei chitki, it has grooves, and the grooves give the menorah an appearance as if it's made out of parts. Hilchach, therefore, halacha l'maisa. Chulyos, when a menorah is made out of parts, I don't care ben gedoyl or ben katana, whether it's big or small, asura, you're not allowed to move it. Asura taltli, you're not allowed to move it. Why? Because I'm concerned it's going to fall, and you'll put it back together. Gedoyla, by big menorah, namid isbei chitki, where it has grooves, I also say you're not allowed to move it. Why? Gzeira at the gedoyla the chulyus. Because I may confuse it with a menorah made out of parts. So the way that we show and explain the Gemara is very nice. A big menorah is usually going to be made out of parts. Because it's big, so it's hard to transport. So if you have a big menorah that happens not to be made out of parts, but it looks like it's made out of parts because it has grooves, and usually menorahs are made out of parts, it's very likely people are going to think that it's a real menorah with parts. Ki pligi, the machlokes of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is limited to ktana, the small menorah, this by chutki that has grooves, but not actually parts. Ma'asav gazrinan, that we make the same set, just like we made by big menorahs, we make by small menorahs because we don't want to start making differences. Or ma'asav lo gazrinan, that we don't make exera because small menorahs, people know, are very likely not to be made out of parts. Just let's talk halach l'maisa. Are you allowed to carry a candelabra on Shabbos? It's a very relevant shaila. Let's say a very simple shaila. You have in your brake front a candelabra. It's made out of parts. Most candelabras are made out of parts. They're just not, we don't normally unscrew them, but they're made out of parts. And you need to get to something in your brake front. So even if it's a klish l'malach del isl, a tzara kufay mekayim, you can move it. Are you allowed to move it? So the Paiskim says as follows. It's very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah, when he brings down this halacha, says that this halacha is limited strictly to menorah. What happens if you have a becher? A big becher that's made out of parts. Are you allowed to move it? So the Mishnah Berurah says it's only a menorah. Chazal did not make a gzera on anything else. Why? Because menorahs were generally taken apart and put together. So they made the gzera menorahs. All other utensils, even if they are made out of parts, were not usually assembled and disassembled, so they didn't make a gzera. So a lot of poskim want to say, there's a sefer Amukso, a sefer Tatule Shabbos, that says nowadays most people don't assemble and disassemble the menorah, the candelabras. Many people don't even know that candelabras could be assembled and disassembled. Therefore, nowadays, you could even move a menorah, it will be the same like a becher. Other paiskim say, no, the Gemara said that a menorah gedoyla that takes two hands, you're not allowed to move, and we can't say, well, it was then and not now. If it's a menorah gedoyla, certainly if it's made out of parts, you're not allowed to move it. Continues the Gemara. Yesterday we had that the Gemara said that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda with this broader application of mezuzah. Does Rabbi Yochanan paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? We know Rabbi Yochanan has rules throughout Shas. The halacha is Stam Mishnah. We always follow Stam Mishnah. But tonight, we learned the Mishnah. We just learned this in Daf Mem Hei. So we'll repeat this quickly. Muchnishlo. If you have a carriage attached with a wheel, is the halacha b'zman shehinu shmetis? If the wheel is removable, ein chibula. It's not considered connected to the wagon, and therefore if the wagon becomes tamei, it doesn't automatically affect the wheel, or vice versa. Einim dedesama, we learned that halacha is that if a wood keli could carry 40 saw, it's not makabel tuma. Now when I want to measure this, you don't measure the wheel with the wagon, if it's removable. Veim etzelsama ba'oil hames, that if the wagon carries 40 saw, So then if somebody's going to be in the wagon, he won't become Tameh even if he goes over a grave, because the bottom of the wagon will be a mechitza between him and the grave, but that won't work for the wheel. Vein gornos b'Shabbos, this is what's relevant to us, you're not allowed to drag this on Shabbos, b'zman sheyesh l'amos, because it has on it money. So he learned, ha'ein l'amos, if it doesn't have money, shariyu, you may move it. That means as long as there's no money on the wheel right now, so I can move it. Now whose concept is that? That's Reb Shimon. Because according to Reb Yehuda, if there was money on the wheel, even if there's no money now, you would not be allowed on it, you would not be allowed to move the wheel, because Reb Yehuda holds Migad is Katsoyla Ben Hashmashis, is Katsoyla Kula Yoyma. So we explained that that Mishnah is a proof to Reb Shimon. So if that's a Stam Mishnah like Reb Shimon, how can we say, and Reb Yochanan always paskins like the Stam Mishnah, how can we say that Reb Yochanan paskins like Reb Yehuda, Amar Reb Zeira? So Reb Zeira redefines the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about, Tei Mishnah Senesh Lo Hayu Lo Mosko Benish Moshes. There was no money in Benish Moshes. So now there's no problem. Since there's no money in Benish Moshes, there's no Migidis Katsoy, and there's no money on the wheel now, so the wheel's fine, you could schlep it. Why am I redefining the Mishnah? Because the problem with doing this is that the Mishnah is not really teaching me anything special. In order, Shloi Lishbet Varsh Rabbi Yochanan, not to have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan, here he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, and here he paskins like the Stam Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Pam Achas Holach Rabbi Liyusra. One time Rabbi came to the Yusra, for Hayr B'Menayra Krep Shimon. By Menayra he passes like Reb Shimon, that a Menayra, after it goes out, a lamp after it goes out, it's not Muksa. And Hayr B'Menayra Krep Shimon, I'm sorry, he passes by Menayra that we're talking about now, like Reb Shimon passes by in there, by a lamp that goes out, that it's not Muksa. Latera. So not a Gemara Ibailu. The Gemara wants to know, what does it mean? Hayr B'Menayra Krep Shimon B'Ner. That just like Reb Shimon is Mekel in Ner, because he holds that a lamp after it goes out, it's not Muksa. So too, Rebbe will paskin that a menorah you're allowed to move, even though we learned at the beginning of the shiur today that you may not be allowed to move a menorah. Idoma, hire a menorah liyisura. By menorah he paskin that it's asur for the reason we began the shiur today, because you may come to put it together. And Rav Shimon ben Ner leteru, and his heter is limited to the shayla of muksa on a lamp that goes out. Says the Gemara Teiku. We don't know what he really meant. We certainly know that he was Mekel on Hilchus Ner, on a lamp that goes out. But what he passed on a menorah, if you let him move it on that, the Gemara doesn't know for sure. Continues the Gemara. Ramalka Ikle Lebei Reb Simloi. Ramalka came to Reb Simloi's home, the Tiltel Shaga, and he moved a menorah after it wasn't lit. The Ikbid Reb Simloi. And Reb Simloi was upset. Why was he upset? Because he obviously paskened like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Glaw, Ikla Asri, the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Tiltel Shaga, he moved a Menorah, Vipid Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Again, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina was upset, because why are you going like Rabbi Shimon? You should act like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Avua, Ki Ikla La Asri, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Avua, when he came to Rabbi Shimon Levi, have a Metaltel Shaga, he used to move a lamp after it went out. However, ki ekle asu Rabbi Yochanan, when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's city, loved metal to shaga. He didn't move a lamp even when the fire was extinguished. Ask the Gemara Manashach, I don't understand. E Rabbi Yehuda Ksfirlei, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so you're not allowed to ever move it. Love Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lamp, if it was used for the Shabbos, is muksa the tie Shabbos even after it goes out. On the other hand, Ikrab Shimon Shvirulei, so Levikrab Shimon, let him do like Rab Shimon, and he should always move the lamp when it goes out. Answers the Gemara, Loyal and Krab Shimon Shvirulei. He really passed like Rab Shimon, that it's not Muksa. However, Mishun Kvoided Rab Yoichanan, because he respected Rab Yoichanan, Hudalai Ovid, he did not move a menorah after went out when he was in Rab Yoichanan's town. So Rashi explains very beautifully. If he really passed like Rab Yehuda, and he held its muksa, then he would have no right to move a menorah even in the city where they passed like Reb Shimon. Because if you hold something is wrong, you can't just do it because somebody else holds its mutter. He obviously held that it's mutter to move it. Why? Because he passed like Reb Shimon. Just what? Just because you're allowed to move a menorah doesn't mean you have to move a menorah. So when he came to Rabbi Yochanan's city, in respect to Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't move it. So the Mefarshim ask, the halach is, people that things that are meikel on, v'cheirim nogubo isra, but other people are machmer, iyat rishoy lahat lefneim. You're not allowed to be lenient in front of them because it's not respectful. The Gemara is saying here that there was a special issue of Mishum Kfoyed Rabbi Yochanan, that he respected Rabbi Yochanan. Everybody has to do that. The halach is, what's the example? The halach is, let's say I come to a city that they don't work in Chol HaMoed. Even though my city, my meaning is to work Chol HaMoed, I'm not out of work. So what's special about what he did? So the answer, not only was he makbid not to move a menorah in front of the people that acted like Rabbi Yochanan, but even when he was in the privacy of his own room, and Rabbi Yochanan wasn't there, because this was the city where Rabbi Yochanan was the Rav, out of respect for Rabbi Yochanan, he never moved the menorah. But I saw a very interesting halacha, and that's the halacha, that a person should follow his minig, only if it's a chumrah, but he could be machmer for kavod. But I saw, very interesting, in the Shaar Metzionim Bahalacha, that the Shaar Metzionim Bahalacha says that even though that's the halacha, there's one exception. He says, what's the halacha if you daven your Nusach Ashkenaz? So Pesach by night, Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't say Hallel and Shul. They only say at home. Nusach Sfard says Hallel. And you daven in a shul where they say Hallel. And they ask you to be the Shlich Tzibur. Should you say Hallel with a bracha? According to you, it may be a bracha levatala. He says you should say it. Similarly, he says, Sfardim don't make Hallel when they don't make a bracha when they don't say whole Hallel. For example, Rosh Chodesh, they don't make a bracha. What happens if a Sfardi comes to an Ashkenazi minion on Rosh Chodesh and he's davening? Should he make a bracha? There he should make a bracha. In Yonah Yatfila, there's an inyan that everybody should have the same nusach, and even if it comes out that I may be doing something that I think is wrong. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shag the Mishka, everything we've been talking about is a candle, is a lamp with oil. That Charlotte Tatula, that may be moved. The Nafta, but a menorah that's used naft, which is a type of kerosene, also a Tatula, you're not allowed to move it. So the way Rashi and the Rishonim explained the Gemara, and we really said this yesterday, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even Rabbi Shimon, who's Makel and Hilchas Muksa, will agree that this menorah is not allowed to move because it's muksa machmas mias. And we explained yesterday, it's not that Rav Shimon holds that there's no such a thing as muksa machmas mias. He agrees there's such a concept of muksa machmas mias. He just says, if I'm using it, it's obviously not mias. But on Shragdan, after he says, everybody will agree that it's mias and it's mos and it's muksa. And Rav Yosef Damer Tavaya, the Nafta, that even if it's made out of neft, namishal tatula, you're allowed to move it. And again, he holds, they hold, that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's machmer in Hilchas Muksa, you're allowed to move it. So, I saw from the Rosh Yosef to explain this machlaikis. Because if you look at the machlaikis, at first glance, they're arguing over a metzias. Is naft mias, or is it not mias? How could you argue over a metzias? So they answer like this. Everybody agrees that a nafta is mias. Just what is a nafta usable for? As we're going to see in the Gemara, it can be used as a battle cap. The shaila is the fact that something can be used as a battle cap, make it into a usable keli that it shouldn't be muksa. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it does, and it doesn't. And since it doesn't, it's useless. It's muksa machmas mias. Even Rabbi Shimon will agree you're not allowed to move it. On the other hand, Rav and Rabbi Yosef hold that it's a full-fledged use, being a battle cap, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda will allow you to move it. Says the Gemara story. Rav Avya Ikel Bei Rava. Rav Avya came to Rava, have a misen bei karabatina. His shoes were dirty. A sevi apurya kamei de Rava. And then he sat down on the bed with the dirty shoes. Ikbid Rava. So Rava was upset, and balatz urei. And he wanted to, so to speak, tease him. We'll explain what his thinking was soon. Amalei, so he asked him, My tamer Rabbi Rav Yosef the Amr Tavayu. Why do Rabbi and Rav Yosef both hold the shagar the nafta namil shalut atule that you're allowed to move a nafta lamp? Amle hoel v'chazia l'chsui b'mona. Since you could use it to cover as a bottle cap. So he asked him, Elma Ato, Kolts Roru Shabachotzer, every stone in a yard, Metatlin, should be allowed to be moved. And everybody agrees that a stone is Muksa. Why should it be Mutab to move it? Hoyo Vachazi Lachsuya Bimona, since it's usable as a bottle cap. Omle Ho Ikitaris Kleila, this is a Kaili. Hani Lekitaris Kleila. So what he's saying is like this. Just because it's usable doesn't mean you can move it. The first thing is you have to have that it's a keli. After it's a keli, then if it has a use, you're allowed to move it. If it doesn't have a use, then you can't move it even if it's a keli. The shrag the nafta has a use because it's a bottle cap. So Mefarshim asks, you know, this is hard to understand, that Rava was teasing him. So there's a beautiful explanation from the Chazon Yecheskel, from Yecheskel Abramsky. He says like this, Rava we will find later in the Masechta holds that you're allowed, if your shoes get dirty, you're allowed to pick up a piece of cheres, a piece of earthenware, and clean your shoes with them. So what happened was like this, Rav Avi's shoe got dirty. He obviously didn't clean them with a cheres, because he wasn't agreeing with Rava that you're allowed to move something just because you could clean. So Rava asked him, why are you allowed to move a nafta? He said, because you could use it for a bottle cap. Oh, the fact that you could use something does give you a heta that it's not muksa. So then why don't you clean your shoes with a cheres? The cheres has a use. It can be used to clean a shoe. So he answered him, no, you can't compare a cheres to a lamp. A lamp has a lamp is a keli. So as soon as it's a keli, if it has a use, I'm allowed to move it. A cheres has a use, but it's not a keli, and if it's not a keli, you're not allowed to move it. No, it's a keli. So you have to have two things. You have to have a keli and a use. A cheres only has one characteristic. It has a use, but it's not a keli. So he wanted to tell him, from what you're saying, you should have cleaned your shoes. So he said to him, no, you can't bring a raya from the cheres. Beautiful vort.
He's saying that a shivri kli cheres, that says you had a large kli
cheres. A shivri kli cheres, you can still move it.
But it still has a shame keli?
No, he says it doesn't have to have a shem keli. Rava says, as long as it's usable, it's not a problem. And he's saying that's not enough.
The fact that it's usable is not sufficient to give a shem keli.
Right. A keli is a keli. A keli means a utensil. A piece of cheres is not a keli. Miloy Tanya, and the Gemara brings a riot to something that has a shem keli, you're allowed to move. Hashrayim v'nezom v'tabos. Shrayim are bracelets and nose rings and rings. Harein kikol ha-keli ma'nitolim b'chotzer. The halach is, we're going to learn it soon, Perep Me'isha, that we'll talk about the halach l'maisa then. Women aren't supposed to wear jewelry on Shabbos. Why? Because we're concerned that if she's walking to Rishus Rabbim, she'll take off her jewelry to show her friend, and then after she shows it to her, she'll continue walking carrying it in Rishus Rabbim. Because of that, this story you have to learn the Gemara. Chazal even said that she shouldn't wear jewelry even in her house, even in her yard. Why? Because once you wear it in your house, you may come out to Rishus Rabbim. Once you come out to Rishus Rabbim, etc., etc. So now, why aren't jewelry muksa? She can't wear them. Yet the halach is that you're allowed to move jewelry on Shabbos. V'ama Ula. So Ula explained. Matam hoyel v'ikir taris keli aleh. Once something has a shame keli, you're allowed to move it. Hachinami, back to our nafta lamp, hoyel v'ikataris keli ala, since it is a keli, and I have a use, I'm allowed to use it. And the Taurus of Yishanim, it's very small letters, but if you look at the bottom of the Amid, you look at the Taurus of Yishanim, he says clearly that you're allowed to move it, because it has a shem keli, but Taurus of Yishanim says that a shrayim may even be worse than a hammer. A jewelry may even be worse than a hammer. Why? A hammer has a permissible use. Why? Because a hammer can be used as a nutcracker. Jewelry don't have any permissible use. Yet the halacha is that you're allowed to move it. Why? Because it's a Taurus Keli. The Shaila that there is, La'aloch L'maisa, is when you move it. Once we're saying that it has a Taurus Keli on it, and you're allowed to move it, does it mean you're allowed to move it under all circumstances, or you're only allowed to move it L'tzara Kufay Mekaymay? Most Paiskim said that you're only allowed to move it L'tzara Kufay Mekaymay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Brich Rachmana, so the Gemara says, we thank Hashem to like Sifu Ravel or Rav Avya. Ravel was not successful in embarrassing Rav Avya. Ramalei Abayi L'Ravel. Ramalei Abayi L'Ravel. So Rabbi asked the following question to Rabbah. Tanya, we learned Maisa Hashem and Shebener B'Shebekara, the leftover oil that's in the cup or in the plate, Osir. That means if you lit a lamp Erev Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the leftover oil is muksa. Rav Shimon, we learned this, Rav Shimon matter. Alma, Rav Shimon less like muksa. Rav Shimon obviously does not subscribe to muksa. I'm just going to plant the question here. Why did the Gemara have to prove that Rav Shimon doesn't agree with muksa from quoting this brisa? It's the Mishnah. We learned an explicit Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalad. The Mishnah said in Daf Dam Dalad, Metaltlin Ner Chodesh Avlo Yoshin, and Rav Shimon Oymer Kolan Ner is Metaltlin. So why do you have to bring it a brisa? We have a Mishnah. Something to think about. Reminu. We're going to maybe say an answer. Reminu, the halacha is like this. Let's say an introduction. The halacha is, and that the halacha didn't actually change. The firstborn animal is a bechor. A bechor is holy. Bezman she beis minish hayukayim, when the beis minish was standing, we had to bring the bechor as a carbon. And the parts that were left, the parts that were eaten were given to the kayim. However, when the Bechor became blemished, became about mum, a mum kavua, a permanent blemish, then the Kohen keeps it as his own private property and slaughters it and eats it. How do we identify a Bechor as a balmum? You had to go to a mumcha. A paisik would say that this Bechor is a balmum. There's a machlaikis Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. If Ryan mumin beyontif or not, are you allowed to look at a Bechor if it's a Balmum on Yontif or not? Rav Shimon, who so far we found to be a Mekel, there he's a Machmer. And he says, Ain Roim Mumin B'Yontif. You're not allowed to look at Mumin on Yontif. Rav Yehuda says, Roim Mumin B'Yontif. You are allowed to look at a Mumin on Yontif. So now the Gemara says like this. Rav Shimon Oimer, Rav Shimon says, Kosh Ain Mumin Nikar B'Yontif. If from Erev Yontif we weren't able to identify that this Bechor was a Balmum, it's not considered prepared, and it's muksa. And therefore, Rav Shimon will hold that you're not allowed to move that. That animal is muksa on Yontif, even though normally we said yesterday animals are not muksa on Yontif, because you could shecht animals on Yontif. This animal will be muksa, even according to Rav Shimon. So the question is, here we found that Rav Shimon is mekel, and says a muksa. And there he says there is muksa. Answers the Gemara Teretz. Can you compare the two situations? Hasam, in our case, by the lamp, Adam Yoshim Mitzap Emesetech Benera. A person waits when his candle will go out. So Farshim explained, it's not that he waits for his candle to go out. He knows that his candle will go out. That's the way it is. Your candle goes out. So since you know that your candle goes out, so you know it's not going to be muksa for the whole Shabbos. Hacha, by a Bechor, if it wasn't identified as a Balmum before Yontif, Adam Yoshi Mitzapi Masa Yipa Bamam, does a person wait that it should be a Balmum? First of all, Meima Omar, a person says, Mi Yayim the Nafi Balmumah. Who says that it's Bechla going to get damaged? Then Tim Tzalayim the Nafi Balmumah, that a blemish will happen, Mi Yayim the Nafi Balmum Kavu, because as we explained, only a permanent damage makes the Bechor a Balmum. And furthermore, v'im tim tzolayim d'nafa b'imum kavua, that it gets permanently damaged, mi'yayim d'mizdak l'chachem. Who says you can have a chachem that will paskin that's a balmum? And until a chachem paskin that's a balmum, it won't be that way. And, like all the Rishonim add, and a chachem will be difficult to find, because according to Rav Shimon, the chachem is not allowed to paskin on Yontif. So Ritva asks a very fundamental question in understanding the Gemara. Yesterday we learned that according to Rav Shimon, when is something muksa? When you have two characteristics, gregers and smukim. What were gregers and smukim? The chinebi yadayim, and they were useless. Here, Enochanami, the Bechor is useless, but where do you have the Dechina B'Yudayim? He didn't physically push it away. And Rav Shimon, we're learning for the last, I don't know how many blat, has a very limited view of Muksa. So how's all of a sudden he saying this Muksa? So Ritva says a very big aside. Ritva says that over here, Rav Shimon will say it's Muksa, even though you don't have the Dechina B'Yudayim, since the person is not in his own hands. He's relying on the Chacham, who has the Paskin. That takes the place of the Dechina B'Yudayim. The Bechor is useless for me now, because it's not a Balmum. Plus the fact that I know that even if it comes Balmum, I can't make that decision. I have to rely on somebody else. That's like the Dechina B'Yudayim, and that's why Rav Shimon will agree it's Muksa. Now the question is on Rabbi Yehuda. From this Gemara, it seems that only Rabbi Shimon holds that it's Muksa. Rabbi Yehuda will hold it's not Muksa. As Taisus, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's Machmer and has this very broad definition of Muksa. All of a sudden, the animal, even though he holds you a lot to look at it on Yontif, but it's still Muksa, because it wasn't about Mum on Erev Yontif. So Taisus says, Enochanami, if the animal was not about Mum on Erev Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda will agree it's Muksa. Because Rabbi Yehuda's application of Muksa is that anything that wasn't usable Bein Shmoshes remains Muksa for the whole Shabbos. The Machloikis of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda will be limited to a case of an animal that was a Balmum already in Erev Yontif, but a Chacham did not Paskin on it yet. Rabbi Yehuda will say it's not Muksa, because Rabbi Yehuda says, in my mind, I know I could go to the Chacham to Paskin, so I don't make a Muksa. Rabbi Shimon will say, since I'm not allowed to go to the Chacham, that's why it becomes Muksa. So the Machlokes is limited to the case where the Bechor had the Mum already in Erev Yontif. But according to that, Taisus says, a very important concept that we'll use in a moment again. The Gemara says three Miyemis. First of all, who says it's going to become Bal Mum? Second of all, if it becomes a Bal Mum, who says it's a Mum Kavua? And thirdly, who says I'm going to have a Chacham? But if now we're explaining that the Gemara is talking about a case that it's already about Mum from Erev Yontif. Otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's Muksa. There's only one Miyamer. The one Miyamer is Miyamer that the Chacham will Paskin. Continues the Gemara. Masav Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama asks a question. The halach is that when somebody makes a neder, somebody makes a vow, there's one way for everybody to have the vow removed, and there's one way for a woman. Everybody could go to a Chacham, everybody could go to a Rav, and the Rav will be mat and neder. He could annul your vow. An Isha, married woman, her husband could be mat and neder for her. So the halacha is, mefir in the darm b'shabbos, a husband could be made for neder on Shabbos, neshalom the darm, and similarly you could go to a Chacham to have your neder annulled, shein l'tzarech Shabbos, if the vow affects Shabbos. Now what happened here? What happened here was, we have a woman, she made a neder Erev Shabbos. I'm not going to drink coffee. Now, it comes on Shabbos, she's allowed to go to the Chacham or to her husband and have the neder removed. But even if the neder is removed, it should still be Muksa. It should still be Muksa. Once the woman made this coffee, Muksa, once this woman made this coffee asatahar, it should become muksa. So Taisus asks, she only made it asatah herself. So why is it muksa? There's the rest of the world out there. So Taisus says two terutzim. One Taisus Tarot says is that she said, this coffee belongs to me, and the whole world is not, it's asatah to the whole world. She didn't only ask the coffee to herself, she asked it to the whole world, which she has the right. It's her coffee. So it is muksa for the whole world. Another Taisus says, is a new concept of muksa. Taisa says, when it comes to eating, we're always more machmer than just to muksa. Since she said that she's not going to eat something, that's the neder of the case here, it gets a higher level of muksa. With that, we can answer the question we asked before. We asked, Maisa Hashem and Shebener. Why do we have to bring a raya from Maisa Hashem and Shebener? Why don't we bring the Mishnah? Because Maisa Hashem and Shebener is something that's edible. Edible, we see, always has a higher level of muksa. Yet Rav Shimon said it's not muksa. So now the question is, why should this coffee we're talking about not be muksa? Lema miyemen mizdak klabal. Who says that a husband will be made for the neder? And like Taisus explains, why should she think that the husband will not be made for neder? Because since we just learned that the only Nedarim you're allowed to be made for on Shabbos are Nedarim Shein Letzarech Shabbos, so she'll have a frum husband who's scared that maybe this Neder isn't Letzarech Shabbos, and he's not going to want to get close to it. So according to the concepts that we just learned a moment ago, why is she allowed to eat this thing? Why after the Meif Neder? And so the Gemara Haskura Panchas Mishmei the Rava. There we use a concept that Pinchas Mishmei the Rava said. Dabra Pinchas Mishmei the Rava. Kol Anederes Adas Balei Anederes. When a woman makes a neder, she realizes that her husband will take care of it for her if she needs it taken care of. So that's why he never became Muksa, because she Erev Shabbos expected that if it's necessary, my husband will take care of it, and he won't become frum, and he won't be concerned. On the however, by the behemah under the previous Gemara, since the halach is that the chacham is not allowed to look at it, so there's nothing to rely on. Toshma, and the Gemara proves that the halach is neshalom ledarim shel tzarech Shabbos v'Shabbos. You're allowed to ask to a chacham about a nether that's the tzarech Shabbos and Shabbos. V'lai, why isn't the item that I made the nether about automatically muksa? Because lema miyemen mizdakel lechacham. Who says that the chacham will be made for nether? Answers the Gemara, Hashem, there's a lot of actions. And there you can't say that you can rely on her husband, because it's not her husband. Number one, Hashem, Elohim is Dakalei Chacham. If you don't find a Chacham, Sagalei Begimel Hajoitis. The halach is that if you don't have a Chacham, you could take any three people, which is what we do actually every Rosh Hashanah. And three regular people who aren't necessarily experts in the Dorim are Matan Neder. However, Chacham, in our case, she won't find the chacham to be made to look at the mum. Not only won't she probably won't, because the chacham's not allowed to look at it. So the Sfas Emes asks a very fundamental question. Sfas Emes asks, the halacha is that when, and it really talks a lot about Hilchas Muksa, the halacha is that if somebody goes to a chacham to be matan neder, what does the chacham accomplish? That the neder is not a neder from the first place. So then there's obviously no problem of muksa. Anisha made a neder on Friday at 10 in the morning that she's not going to drink coffee. So now itaka becomes Shabbos and the coffee is muksa. At 11 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos morning, she goes to the chacham. She says, I need the coffee for Shabbos. He's matan neder. What does that accomplish? That it wasn't a neder Friday morning. Right? And if it wasn't a neder Friday morning, so Friday afternoon, Bebein HaShemashis, it wasn't muksa. So what are you going to tell me? The fact that it wasn't muksa, but she didn't know, still leaves muksa. So I'll bring you a raya la'aloch la'maisa, that's not true. What do we say, a few times, that what is the highest level of muksa? Groigers smukim. If you take grapes and you put them on the roof to dry, that's, everybody agrees it's muksa. Like we said before, it has all the characteristics, the chinah b'yadayim, it's not useful. So what's going to be the halacha? Halacha la'maisa shayla. Tuesday afternoon, I put grapes on the roof. And I think they're not going to be ready for a week. However, in reality, Friday afternoon, these raisins were edible. I just didn't know, because I didn't go up to my roof Friday afternoon. Then it turns out that I find out that on Friday morning, these raisins were edible. Will these raisins be muksa or not? They were edible by Ben Shmoshes, but I didn't know. So the halach is, they're not muksa. Because the fact that I don't know doesn't change the metzias. The metzias is that they were edible. So the same thing here. Taka, she didn't know, Dana Shmosh's Friday night asked the Sfas Emes, that this item is not going to be muksa. But it doesn't make a difference. It's like the grapes that she didn't know, or like the raisins that she doesn't know good. So here too, this is the Sfas Emes question. So what's the answer? The answer is based on the Ritva. What did we say before? The Ritva says that one of the highest levels, or one of the easiest ways of making something muksa, is when you're in somebody else's hands. By the raisins, she's not in anyone else's hands. There may be a lack of knowledge, but she's not in anyone else's hands. However, here, she's in the Chacham's hands. That's why it's different. And you can't say the fact that the chacham is matan neder from before Shabbos, and therefore wasn't muksan, and just she didn't know about it. But she was still in somebody else's hands. And since she's in somebody else's hands, that makes a muksa, if not for the teres that we just gave of miyema. One more piece of Gemara. Ramalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi asked Rabbi Yosef, "Miam Rav Shimon kufs mutal tatala." Rav Shimon said that once it goes out, you're allowed to move it. Kufs in only when it goes out, like kufs aloy. And again, Tosfos asked the question that this was an open Mishnah. Why do we have to learn with the Yukim? My Tam, what's the reason? Why aren't you allowed to move it even when it's on? So he says, Dilma Bahadid Nakala Kafsa. Because we're worried that while you're carrying it, it may get extinguished. Ask the Gemara, Hashmiel Reb Shimon. Who's the one that we're talking about? Reb Shimon. And we know Reb Shimon holds Dov Shem Eskav Mutter. If something is done unintended, it's Mutter. Natanya, we learned it. Reb Shimon, I'm a Goyer Adam Kisa Mitav Safsal. A person's allowed to schlep, a chair, a bench, bed, or Vachalai Eskav Lassas Charitz. So Abizai, we're back to where we started. Why is he not allowed to carry the lamp, even when it's on? You're worried it's going to go out, but he's not intending it that you go out. Answers the Gemara. Kel hechadiki mechavin. Any case, so let's say a person intended to extinguish. Ike sur deraisa. There would be an issur deraisa. So therefore, kiloi mechavin, even in a case where it's not osur, because he didn't have a chavona, gozun rishim midrabon. Rabbanon, Rishim says midrabon and it's osur. However, kol hechadiki mechavin, any case where even if you had kavona, there would only be an issur deraisa. What's the example of schlepping the chair? Because there, it's not. That's not the normal way of making a hole, so it's never a deraisa. Therefore, kilay mechavin shor Rav Shimon lechatchila, you're allowed to do it lechatchila. Masav Rava asks Rava, we learned the Gemara Masechta Brachas, ma'achri ksos, you're not allowed to wear shatnas. But let's say you're a suit salesman. The halacha is ma'achim kedarkin. The suit salesman can wearing the suits. Uvachlo yicham b'schavim b'nei cham. You shouldn't have kavana in the summer to protect you from the heat. Uvachshem b'nei cham the winter from the cold. The frumah mafshilim b'maklach reim. They didn't wear it. So you see that even though somebody could think that you're doing a deraisa, you're allowed to do it. V'achidach hamechavin isu deraisika. And still kiloy mechavin. If you didn't have mechavin, sharev shimon lechatchila. Let's do it lechatchila and it doesn't make seiris. So back to where we started. If it's a davashem meskavin, moving a lamp, even if it'll go out, it'll be davashem meskavin. Why does Rav Shimon say you're not allowed to move a lamp? The Pnei Yeshua says a very nice explanation in the Havamina of the Gemara. He wants this, because Tosfos asks the question, besides the fact that it's Tov Hashem Miskavin, it's a Melach Hashem Tzrich Legufa, because he doesn't want the lamp to go out. So Tosfos says, again, the person seeing you moving the lamp and going out doesn't know that you don't want a charcoal on top. From his point, you want a charcoal. The Pnei Yeshua says like this, you know, why is a Dov Hashem Miskavin, why is a Melach Hashem Tzrich Legufa not Osir and Shabbos, according to Rav Shimon? Because we use the Mishkan as a model. And the Mishkan, all the Melachas, were Tzrich Legufa, like we explained many times, they were constructive. But you know, Shabbos was given before the Mishkan. Shabbos was given already in Mara. So that's why Melach Hashem Tzrich Legufa may not have a full-fledged din of Shabbos, that you get an Einish if you do it, but it's certainly a Melacha. So the fact that it's a melacha shein tzrich legufa will not make it mutter completely according to Rav Shimon.